I'm not like to hand this time to speaker, Sim KP. I think he has been with us for the last 2 weeks. But for many of us, we may be familiar to him. I knew him as a young man, all of us here. He worshipped in the National Pasir Ris, in the eastern part of Singapore, and he's with the little book that we always use for the devotion, Our Daily Bread, right? Father of three daughters, right? But I think for the last 3 weeks, he has been challenging us in a lot of things, right? Other than granting us the PDM, Proverb-driven life, right? And we also learned about how we should walk our words, considering how we, in our engagement with people. And then this morning, we'd like to have him back with us. Right, he's not talking about a political rally called PAP, but he's speaking about prosperity and priorities. Right, so with that, I can just hand this time to Pastor Sim KP.
Morning. We're going to continue our study on the book of Proverbs, and the way to do the study of book of Proverbs is to do it topically. Okay, you pick a topic, you use your Bible, and then you look at all the Bible verses that speaks about that topic from the book of Proverbs. And the first beginning of the month, we look at the Proverbs-driven life. Last week, we looked at the gifts that God gave to us that could hinder our living that Proverbs-driven life, and that is our words. Okay, a gift of speech is a wonderful gift that God gave to no one, no other creatures except human beings, but as in the use of any gift, it can be abused and misused. And so we got to watch our words. Today, we want to look at the second set of gifts that God gave to us. And that is the gift of prosperity, our wealth and our material blessings. Some Bible preachers say that our Christian life can be defined by two books, the Bible and your bank book. The Bible tells us how to live the Christian life. I think we all agree that the Bible gives us standards of living the holy life. But our lifestyle depends on whether you are rich or poor. How you live that Christian life depends on your material position. And the Bible has a lot to say about wealth and money. Give you some statistics about what the Bible says about prosperity. For example, I didn't count them, but some Bible teachers who will have a lot of free time in their hand says that there are about 500 verses in the Bible on prayer. Okay, so actually, if you want to talk about the subject of prayer, you have 500 verses to look at. About 500 verses on faith, the word faith. But more than 2,000 verses on money, prosperity, and material possessions, which means that about 15% of the New Testament alone is about material wealth and possessions. 15%, which means that in the New Testament, 1 out of every 7 verse is a verse on prosperity. And Jesus taught about 46 parables, and about 40%, 18 of the 46 parables that Jesus taught deals with money. It's a very interesting statistic that of all the parables that Jesus taught, about 40% has got to do with material possession. That raises an important question. Why does the Bible and why did Jesus give so much attention to money and possessions? there is a fundamental connection between our spiritual life and our material life. How we handle money affects our spiritual life, our godliness. In our last study of Proverbs, we want to look at what the Bible, what the book of Proverbs have to say about prosperity, possessions, and priority. Okay, so if you want, you can have the three P's there: prosperity, possessions, and priority. And in the book of Proverbs itself, we have more than 100 Proverbs dealing with material possessions. We want to look at some of this, out of these 100 Proverbs on material possessions, we want to look at the key idea that give us a glimpse of what God thinks about wealth. And using those key ideas, we want to draw a roadmap so that we can adopt a biblical lifestyle in relation to how we handle our possessions and our money. We need to be wise. In other words, we need to be skillful in handling our bank book. And we want to look at some biblical principles on how to handle our bank book. First of all, we need to know that wealth is a blessing from God. In the Bible and in the Old Testament particularly, and also because we are looking at Proverbs, we want to look at the Proverbs as well. God blesses the wise with material blessings. But you must understand, in the book of Proverbs, the wise are the godly. The fools are the ungodly. So when you see that God blesses the wise, you can substitute the word wise there. God blesses the godly. Take, for example, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. Isn't it? It's a gift. You don't have to work hard for it. That's what it means. The blessing of the Lord brings you material possession without you actually striving and working so hard for it. You and I must understand, as we learn how to handle our bank book, we must look, first of all, understand that your material blessing is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And because it's a gift, you don't have to work hard to earn it. God gives to us generously. But we must understand that this gift is, in the book of Proverbs, is restricted to certain people only. First of all, we look at Proverbs 8:17 onwards. Proverbs 8:9, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. Verse 20, I walk in the way of righteousness along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me. And so we find that the blessing, the gift of wealth, is restricted to those who love God. The wise are the godly, and only the godly are blessed with material blessings. Now, King Solomon himself, who wrote this Proverbs, is an example of this principle, that God blesses the godly. We know the story in 1 Kings chapter 3, when God asked Solomon what he wanted. And Solomon did not ask for wealth when he could do so. Instead, he asked for wisdom. He did not ask for wealth. He asked for wisdom. The skills to rule the nation. The skills to live life in a way that will honor God. And in his grace and his mercy and his blessing, God gave, in addition to wisdom, God gave Solomon wealth and much more. We read that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 13, I give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor. So this is a principle that we need to strive for. We live godly life and we seek wisdom from God. And when you ask God for wisdom, wealth and honor are also ancillary bonus gifts that comes with it. Those who seek after God, those who fear God, according to Proverbs, will be blessed materially. In Proverbs 21:21, in Proverbs 21:21, whoever pursue righteousness, meaning those who do what is right before the eyes of God, those who pursue love, finds what? Finds life, finds prosperity, and finds honor. And that's what God gave to Solomon when he asked for wisdom instead of wealth. Because God gave him wisdom, God gave him prosperity, and God gave him honor. Okay? And so the wise, the godly in Proverbs, are those who can live life skillfully, finds life, at the same time, be materially blessed, and will receive honor. God blesses his people with wealth. That is in the Old Testament, that is in the Proverbs. But I want to caution that we cannot base our theology on these few verses only. Prosperity gospel proponents insist that God will give you all the material wealth that you could ever want. And at the same time, because of that blessing that God has given to you, they claim that Christians should not fall sick. If you fall sick, means that you lack faith. And this is the outcome of just basing your whole theology of life on your favorite verses. We need to consider what the Bible says about the full topic, not just a few verses that you like, in order to come to a proper and balanced biblical view of prosperity and money. Because the book of Proverbs, on one hand, says that material blessing, material wealth is a blessing, it also warns that material wealth is a curse. We need to consider the other side of the coin. It's the same coin, but two different sides. Because material wealth can become undesirable. As a gift, it can be misused and abused, just like our speech. We look at Proverbs 37. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. What is interesting about this verse is that it encapsulates the two things that we are talking about, our words and our wealth. And the wisdom here is that these are the two things that we should be praying for. I wonder how often we pray this prayer. The one who wrote this proverb, Proverbs 30, I think it's not Solomon by this time now, but someone else. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Use careful use of my words. And then at the same time, help me to deal correctly with material wealth. Deal correctly with words. Deal correctly with material wealth. And Proverbs 30 verse 8, this verse 8 calls for balance. The middle of the road, neither too rich, also don't put me in the extreme poverty position. The middle road. Some say God wants us to be middle class. And I think in Singapore, Christians are middle class. Okay, there are some people who are at the exact extreme end of wealth, and there are also people who are at the other lower end of wealth. But by and large, Christians in Singapore are middle class. And it then makes you wonder whether is this a fulfillment of this verse? I don't think so. But the thing about we handling of material wealth is that God does not want us to be greedy. I wonder how many of us ever think that maybe we should pray that we want to be millionaire. I was talking to a young man one time, many years ago in my own church. And he says he wants to hit his first million by the time he hit 30. And he did it. He did it. How many of us had that desire to be rich? And not just rich, but very rich. How many of us actually do pray for such a position? But the advice from Proverbs is that we are to pray to God to just to give us enough to live a meaningful, a contented life. We need to pray that we have enough to live the Proverbs-driven life. No extremes needed. Why does Proverbs tell us to be in the middle, to take the middle road when it comes to prosperity or poverty? Between prosperity on one hand and poverty on one hand, we have to pray we walk the middle road. In verse 9, it gives us the answer. Otherwise, I may have too much and I disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. And this provides us the reason for us to keep on the middle road. Because when you are rich and we are accomplished, you tend to be proud. And you are proud, you tend to think that you are so clever. You don't depend on God. That is, you become independent from God. Or when you are too poor, you will do things that are sinful and wrong. And therefore, you dishonor the name of Christ. There are dangers and temptations associated with extreme wealth or extreme poverty. So therefore, you need to be careful and pray that you walk the middle road. And therefore, you need to know that yes, Proverbs says that wealth is a blessing. It comes to believers. It comes to us from God's hand. And we recognize that it is from His hand. But it would be a curse for us if material wealth comes to us and then we think that it is from our own hand. Whose hand are you receiving your wealth from? And that is also important because it's a question of dependence upon God and independence and self-sufficiency from God. Because when you have extreme wealth, the chances is that you will love your gifts rather than you love the giver. And that's where the trap and the temptation of wealth is. It gives you it entitles you to value the gifts more than you value the giver. And that is exactly what God warned His people when He gave them the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. When you have eaten and are satisfied, verse 10, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. In verse 12, otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have multiplied, in verse 14, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. In verse 17, you may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Verse 18, God brings us down. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And this is the extreme danger, the danger of wealth. We forget that it is God who give us the ability to produce wealth. We think it is our own ability. You are a genius. You are a financial wizard. And that is where your wealth can become a curse, because it do not draw you closer to God, but it draws you independent. Wealth also can become a curse when we are covetous. When we are not contented. God give you a middle of the middle class lifestyle, for example. You manage to live in a condo. God give you, bless you enough materially to entitle you to live in a condo, but you want a bungalow. You feel that you need to upgrade further. And therefore, you become greedy. You want some more money. You covet. And that is where the second danger of material blessing comes, which becomes a curse for us. When our desire to become rich makes us covetous and push us towards the realm of greed. Beware of greed. Covetousness is a sin and a disease that not only strike the rich, it also can strike the poor. And that's the reason why we need to learn to develop the contented life. The contented life. Today we see a great disparity between the rich and the poor. And the COVID-19 pandemic has made it so obvious, even more obvious, that the rich are getting richer, the poor are getting poorer. Not only nationally, but also internationally. We are the first few countries to be able to get the vaccine because we are rich. And I was amazed at which we can just roll out vaccine like that when people in our neighboring country can't even get access to it, even if they want to pay for it, they can't. We need to pause and thank God for the material blessings that we have enjoyed. But Proverbs 22, verse 1 and 2 warns us something about this disparity. Lest we become proud, it brings us to the same common level. In Proverbs 22, verse 2, the rich and the poor have this one thing in common. The Lord made them both. When we stand before our God, whether you are a millionaire or whether you are struggling financially, you share a common beginning, you share a common life and a common destiny. The Lord made both of us. Rich or poor, we are equal before God. Rich or poor, God expects us to live the holy life. We are to be humble. There is no room for pride. When it comes to being wealthy or being humble, Proverbs reminds us that it is the humble who is much more blessed than the wealthy. And that's what in verse 4 tells us. Humility is the fear of the Lord. His wages are riches and honor and life. And so Proverbs 22 verse 4 ties up all what we've been talking about. Okay, humility is the fear of the Lord. His wages are riches and honor and life. The Proverbs-driven life, the humble life, the contented life, the generous life. If you know how to deal with life correctly, as living the Proverbs-driven life, we would be able to really experience the material as well as the spiritual blessings that God has intended for us. I want to say this, which can come as a very stark comment. God is not interested whether you are rich or poor. This is our concern as we live life on earth. Whether we are rich or poor, it is our concern because it determines our lifestyle. It determines how we live, whether you drive a car or you take the MRT. That's our lifestyle. Okay, we are concerned with that. But where God is concerned, as God's children, God is more concerned that we, his children, become wise and godly. That we live purposeful and meaningful life. And I think as parents, those of you who are parents, you are concerned with both aspects, the material aspect as well as the spiritual aspect. You want to give your children a good material life. But at the back of that material life, we also want them to live wisely and live a good life, a godly life, and a purposeful life. And that is God's concern for us, that we live holy lives, not we live wealthy lives. God bestows wealth by hard work, frugality, and savings. We want to look at how wealth can be legitimately obtained and increased by the Christian. You see, we have to work for a living. And in the course of the work, God bestows wealth when we work hard. That is the general principle of Proverbs. In Proverbs 10:4, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. And so if you want to be rich, you want to walk the middle road, Proverbs says work hard. Work hard. Because diligence hands bring wealth. And that is what our parents' generation and our grandparents' generation have done. My father came from China as a young man, as a youth, in fact, when I think he was only 17 when he came. And that generation worked very hard to give us a life. That medical generation, that pioneer generation, that the political leaders honor today. And then followed by the medical generation, which is my generation. We work very hard so that my children can have a better life. And over the years, you will find that we accumulate, because of our hard work, we accumulate wealth, right? Those of us with gray hair, we understand this, that our life is much better off compared to the 1960s. I remember in those days, we were still sharing a tap in the local village. Now we have tap everywhere. And therefore, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So work hard, and that's how God will bless you materially. We look at Proverbs 6:6. Look at the ends. Go to the end. You sluggard, consider his ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, yet it stores its provision in summer and gathers its food in harvest. And I think we Singaporeans are modeling after the ends. We work very hard. We save for a rainy day. But the lesson of the ends is that hard work leads to prosperity, whereas idleness leads to poverty. In verse 10, we read from the New Living Translation, a little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little more of folding of hands, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So work hard. Second principle about wealth that Proverbs tell us is this: get rich slowly. Get rich slowly. By our hard work, God wants us to build our wealth slowly, bit by bit, through careful planning and prudent spending. It's not just earning money, building wealth, but also careful spending. Proverbs 21, verse 5, talks about prudent spending and saving. Proverbs 21, verse 5, reading from the New Living Translation. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. The principle I want us to know is this, that God wants you to be rich slowly. And that's what we cannot tahan. We want to get rich fast. And that's the reason why people go buy Toto, go buy big, you know, big sweep. I ask myself, will I actually queue up on, you know, on the Hong Bao Toto draw of 3 million, 5 million, 12 million? And I want to get rich quickly. And I want to get rich without having to work hard for it. What you need to know is that Proverbs tells us to get rich slowly. Careful planning, hard work leads to prosperity. Proverbs 21 verse 5. Proverbs 13:11 says this, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. When I was growing up, POSB was my favorite bank. Okay, we use our money, little coins, to buy stamps, and we pay stamps. Okay, and that's how we save. Little by little, we save. Every week, we buy one stamp. I don't know those of you who are my age experience that or not. Okay, some parents, instead of buying stamps, get a piggy bank. Okay, and encourage their children to drop some coins in the piggy bank from their school allowance, from their school pocket money. Little by little, your money grows. And these are good biblical advice for us, because the Bible, particularly this verse in Proverbs 13, says, be careful of get rich quick schemes. Don't be greedy. Don't be hasty in wanting to become rich. And that is exactly how scammers scam you. It preys on your greed. Right? Sometimes I wonder how today people can be so easily scammed. When you're covetous and when you're greedy, you don't see the danger. You just want to get rich fast. And you fall prey to the stems. In Proverbs 28, verse 20, the trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but the person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. Keep that in mind. When people come with you with a promise of a 10% investment returns, it looks too good to be true. When people say you can buy an iPad for $200, it's too good to be true. A trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. Greed, covetousness, wanting to become rich too fast. Beware of greed, brothers and sisters. Beware of greed, because greed will lead you to cheating, to bribery, or to some illegal transaction. And mind you, greed will strike whether you are rich or poor. Even the very rich will still have to contend with greed. You are poor, you will contend with greed. But the greedy will always end up using dishonest, corrupt, unjust, or illegal means to become rich. Proverbs 15:27, the greedy person bring ruin to the household, but the one who hates bribe will live. The greedy bring ruin to the household. Beware that the consequence of greed is not just you. It's your family as well. I leave it to you to look at the other two verses. Okay. So get rich slowly. Get rich slowly. Work hard to build your wealth. Beware of greed. The Proverbs also advise us that even as we accumulate wealth, we need to spend wisely. God wants us to be prudent in our spending. In Proverbs 21:17, the Living Translation, those who love pleasure become poor. Those who love wine and luxury will never become rich. What this verse is telling us is that, look, in those days, wine and luxury are extravagant purchases. The expenses of wine and luxury prevents us from becoming rich. If we spend foolishly rather than save, we will never be able to be rich. And that is why we need to be prudent in our spending. Yes, plan to go for a holiday, but plan to spend within your means. The credit card is a terrible piece of plastic for us. Okay? We can just charge 10,000 to a card, but then you end up paying for the rest of it. And they charge they charge, I think, 24% per annum. Prudent spending. Don't spend beyond what you can afford to spend. Okay. You plan to spend only after you have done your savings. And whatever surplus that you have, you go and plan for a holiday. Be content then. Paul warns of teachers who teach that greed is good. In 1 Timothy 6, 5, this teacher says that a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Using the Christian faith, using the Bible to become wealthy. And that's what quite a lot of I hate to say this. Bible teachers have abused that system. Proverbs tell us to live wisely, handle our money skillfully. And the way in which we are to handle wealth is this: through hard work, through careful planning, through careful spending, through careful saving. And therefore, I want us to go back to Proverbs 30 again, verse 7. If you want to have a key verse that would depict our approach towards material wealth, this is it in Proverbs 30, verse 7. Two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is this? The Lord. Or I may come too poor and steal and dishonor the name of our Lord. Our prayer must be a simple one. And it's a prayer that Jesus taught all of us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. As he ends the Lord's Prayer, he says, give us today our daily bread. Right? And that's what we need just to pray. Lord, today I ask that you just give me enough to feed my family. Give me enough to feed my family. To us, money is important. And perhaps the most important thing in our lives. But Proverbs downplay the importance of wealth. You need to know that the book of Proverbs downplay the importance of wealth. Because there are many more things much more important than wealth. Wisdom is more profitable than wealth. And wisdom or skill in handling life gives better dividends than material possession. Wisdom is more precious than wealth. In Proverbs 8:10, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is more precious than rubies and nothing you desire can compare with her. We must come to a stage in our life to say that I want to be able to live the holy life more than I want to live the wealthy life. In other words, holiness matters more than wealth. We must have that understanding as we live the Proverbs-driven life. Living the godly life is better than living the good life. The difference is between the godly life and the good life. Yes, in His grace and His mercy, God may give us the good life. But don't forget to live the godly life, even if you are living the good life. And even if you do not have the good life, you are required to live the godly life. In Proverbs 15:16, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Money is a fleeting thing. We must also come to grips with that. Money is a very transient thing. In the cartoons, we often see money sprouting wings and flying away, right? Actually, that's a very biblical concept. Money will fly away from you because it's fleeting. It is transient. What you need to understand is this, that money is needed only for our time here on earth. And you have to understand, how long are you going to stay here on earth? 84 is our life expectancy for men. Women live slightly longer, 87 or 88. You have 3 more years or 4 more years to live compared to the men. But it's just that period of time. Okay, let's call it 90 years at best. Therefore, your money is only needed for those 80 years. Therefore, you need to understand that our wealth can give us a false sense of our life. We spend so much time getting money for a mere 90 years. If you look at the Proverbs 23:4, the advice that Proverbs 23:4 give to us is very interesting. Reading from the New Living Translation, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it will sprout wings and fly away like an eagle. Yes, understand this. You need money while you are here on earth, and you need it for the next 90 years of your life while on earth. But you must look beyond that 90 years. You have an eternity to think about. The question is, what are you preparing for that eternity compared to your 90 years? We work so hard for 90 years. But are you working as hard for your rest of your life in eternity? Jesus tells us to prepare for eternity. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What Jesus is telling us is a very real challenge for all of us. We spend so much time going after material riches for 90 years, and we spend so little time chasing for eternal dividends and wealth, where you will spend the rest of your eternity. We need to see the perspective. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. if you are just chasing material wealth, you will wear yourself out chasing material wealth. But if you see where you want to spend eternity, you will spend your efforts chasing after eternal wealth, treasures in heaven. Jesus ends this section in Matthew 6:33. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. And that is the wealth that we need to be chasing after. Seeking after his kingdom. Why? Because money cannot give us ultimate security. Money cannot guarantee our eternity. In the economic systems of the world, money is very powerful. You look at Sri Lanka, the country is bankrupt. They can't buy anything. Money is powerful. And because money is powerful on this side of heaven, we think that money is the answer to all our problems. To be sure, all of us have problems. And a lot of it has got to do with money. Our lack of it, rather. If only I have more money, all my problems will be solved. I'm not too sure that is true. If you ever you have more money, you won't have any more problems. The more money you have, the more problems you have. Proverbs speaks of the limitation of our material wealth. Because our money, our wealth is not as powerful as we think they are. Because money cannot prevent you from being judged by God. Money may bring you, may buy you escape from the justice of this world. You can bribe a judge, or you can hire a good lawyer to get you out of trouble. So money can bring you out of judgment. But your money cannot bring you out of God's judgment. Proverbs 11:4 reminds us, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. Your money can't buy you out of God's judgment. But righteousness delivers from death. The only investment, the only thing that will get you out of judgment is your holy living. That's what it means. Riches won't help you on the day of, right, on judgment. The New Living Translation says, Proverbs 11:4, New Living Translation, riches won't help you on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. So be wise, not be wealthy. Be wise in how you live and not to chase after wealth. Money does not buy us justice. Money does not buy us happiness. The biggest bank account cannot bring us safely home into eternity. We need to understand that our material wealth is temporal and is only valid for this side of heaven, 90 years at best. And therefore, you will be a fool. Really, I want to say this. You will be a real fool to trust in money because it's only valid for 90 years at best. In Proverbs 11:28, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Look at Proverbs 11:28. Those who trust in their riches will fail, will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. You will be prosperous. You will be alive. You will be rich. You will be growing. Job says the right thing in the midst of his suffering. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The question is always asked, okay, how much did the millionaire leave behind, right? And we say he left everything behind. The millionaire left everything behind. He can't bring it with him. We look at Proverbs 11:7. When the wicked dies, his hope perish. Reading from the ESV. When the wicked die, his hope will perish. and the expectation of wealth perishes too. What a grim reminder that your wealth ends the moment you die. Your hope perishes if you put your trust in your material wealth. What use will be your car, your bank book, even if you have $10 million in your bank book on your deathbed? It can't save you. It can't bring you to heaven. If you have not believed in Jesus, you die there and you end in hell. And therefore, the lesson therefore is this: invest in eternity. We have an eternity to think about, not 90 years. Look at the efforts you put in your 90 years and then compare your efforts that you put in eternity. How does it compare? We are stewards of the blessings that God gives to us, the material blessings. God gives us material wealth because He is generous. Okay, because He is generous. And God gives us material wealth that we look at in the PDL, the Proverbs-driven life, the generous life, is so that we can give it away as well. Our material blessing is not only for us to enjoy alone, but also to be given away. Proverbs 22:9, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Proverbs 11:24, give freely and become more wealthy, be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. But the reality is that for every $1,000 you give away, you're $1,000 poorer. So how can it be that you are more rich? There is an eternity, there is a spiritual wealth that we need to bring into our consideration for us to be generous. For every $1 you give away, you have $1 less to spend on yourself. But you will be enriched a lot more than the loss of a mere physical $1. We have to decide very carefully who is our master. And most of the time, as we live on this earth, there will be times when money is our master. Money dictates how we live. It's our master. Money says that you don't have, because you cannot afford to drive a car, you take an MRT. It's our master. We have to learn to rise above this, that money is not our master, but our servant. And the advice that Jesus gave to us in Luke chapter 16, verse 9, is ever so important. After telling the parable of the unjust manager, the crooked manager who manipulate and make way for himself, for a better life for himself, the lesson that Jesus says in verse 9 of Luke 16 is this. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. Put it simply, invest in eternity. Use your material wealth to invest in eternity. And that's the reason why we believe in giving, in putting big money into the offering bag. We believe, that's the reason why we give money to missions, to gospel outreach, to the preaching of the gospel, because we are using material wealth to invest in eternity. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, and they will go, you will reap eternal dividends. the lesson for us today, as I want you to think about as you go home in your quiet time, ask yourself, what kind of investments are you putting your money into? I'm not talking about fixed Ds, you know, putting your money in fixed D or in a structured deposit or in the stock market. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the money that you have. How are you investing for eternity? And will it bring eternal dividends? It'll be interesting to look at your physical portfolio and your spiritual portfolios and see which is more. Your physical portfolio is only for 90 years. Your spiritual portfolio is for all eternity. Shouldn't we expect to see that the spiritual portfolio should be more than your physical portfolios? It's something for us to think about. Let's just pray. Father, we ask that you help us this morning. We want to thank you that you are a generous God and you are a gracious God. And you give to us material blessings, material wealth generously for our enjoyment. We want to thank you that, Lord, you have blessed us materially here in Singapore. And we pray, Father, that, Lord, that in enjoying these material possessions, we will not forget that it is you who give it to us. That our material possessions, Lord, would enable us and will challenge us to love the giver more than we love the gifts. Help us, Father, to live generously as well. So that, Lord, we would know how to use our material blessings to invest in eternity. Help us, Father, to pray the prayer of Proverbs 30, verse 7. Pray that, Lord, you will not be too rich, neither do we will be too poor. But just give us daily bread and give us contentment. Help us, Lord, to live this Proverbs-driven life, a life of contentment, a life of generosity, a life of humility. As we live life under you, totally depending and trusting you. In Jesus' name we pray.